Can you talk a little bit about, what you see in terms of her long-term outlook, how you see managing her as she moves forward in the future? Also, she has a BRCA mutation. Would you consider adding olaparib, even delayed?
That is the very question she asked me last month. So she was, 9 months into her maintenance of bevacizumab, and she said, "But, what about the SOLO-1 data? Should I now not switch to olaparib?" To which I answered, first of all, we wouldn't be able to get it for her at this point in time. Secondly, we just don't know about adding in olaparib, late on in terms of maintenance, and will we go on for another 2 years? It's all uncharted water. So I said to her, we would, of course, use the PARP inhibitor if she had a recurrence. I also said to her that a small percentage of patients with a BRCA mutation will go through chemotherapy with or without bevacizumab and not have a recurrence. And, we've all got patients on our books that are 10, 14 years out with a BRCA mutation, have had one line of chemotherapy and have not had a recurrence. It tends to be patients with BRCA, but not entirely. There are some patients without a BRCA mutation who are long-term survivors. That tail of about 20%, 20, 22% existed before we ever had PARP inhibitors.
This thing when patients find out about new studies and this woman finding out about SOLO-1 and asking about adding in olaparib, I was just flashing, if the PAOLA study's positive for combination, then you're going to have patients BRCA germline who are on olaparib going to say, can we add in Bev, right?
Well, I think that's going to be harder because there is no comparison against Bev in that PAOLA-1 study. It's a shame. We really need a study. The only study that would have done that was the Javelin 100 PARPs study that's now stopped. And that had a Bev arm versus a talazoparib arm. And that would have been nice. We'd have seen the data comparing PARP versus bevacizumab, but we're not going to see that now.
Interesting.